All right, let's read our passage today from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read it responsively. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in splendor. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man is of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll have today's message from our special guest from East Lansing, Rocky Mile.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me back again. I don't get this pleasure very often, but I'm thankful that I can share with you what God has done in my life and the Word of God today. So let's begin with some prayer. Okay, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you made us, and you have the very best future for each and every one of us. Help us to learn from your Word the truth that you have, that it may be in our heart and may encourage and strengthen us. Lord, cover over all of my weakness and bring your spirit among us that it may encourage us and sit beside us and be there with us to really teach us the wonderful truths you have. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of the message is A New Reality and a Future Resurrection Body. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 58. The key verse is 49, so let's find 49 if you have it in front of you. My version is the older version of the NIV, so it'll sound maybe a little different, but bear with me throughout the message. I'm still using my old reliable Bible. So it says, "And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven." When God created Adam and Eve, he made them in the image of God. But Christ, when he came to us, he was the very representation of God. Each morning when I screen people at work, I see people who are different heights and different ages. They are of various ethnicities and cultures. Each one is unique, all made in the image of God. While most walk in, some have wheelchairs, some have walkers, and some have canes. We are beings of flesh, and we all suffer. We suffer from our own sin and also from aging. We're getting older. I can feel in my own body. Because of our infirmities and also because of our own curiosity, some people ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of bodies will they come? Well, my honest answer to you, I don't know. God knows. God has a wonderful future reality for each and every one of us. He has chosen to make us his children, and that is what we are. Speaking of the future, he tells us in Revelation 21, 3b through 5, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. God is making everything new, including our resurrected bodies. While we may not be able to comprehend these spiritual bodies and what they'll be like, there are aspects of them that Paul says that we can understand. First, our earthly bodies have to perish, like a seed sown in the ground. Why do we have to die? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. In other words, we are not equipped for the new creation and all that God has for us any more than a caterpillar is equipped to fly. Now we know that God transforms a caterpillar into a butterfly. The process is actually not very easy for the caterpillar. And when the caterpillar emerges, it emerges through a very small hole, struggling to get through over many days until it finally emerges as a butterfly. And then it is ready to fly, made to fly, but it has to go through that small tunnel. It has to make it out. This is true for us as well. We are not able to behold God in his glory or know the fullness of joy that God has in Christ or Christ has in God in our earthly bodies. You can't do it. They're not made for it. We may be children of God, but we cannot experience the fullness of Christ in our present form. It's going to be so much better. A couple of years ago, I flew with my family to Denver. We rented an SUV and we traveled to 10 national parks in Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico. It was quite the trip. The terrain and the sights were vastly different from what we know here. From high mountain peaks covered in snow to deserts and canyons with cactus and low brush. The beauty of the parks was incredible. And we were all struck by God's creation. In the past few weeks, we have heard how man has discovered a new subatomic particle that defies current physics. And on the other end of the spectrum, we are seeing in the news color photographs of Mars from a helicopter, and photos of vast galaxies in splendid detail. It's just amazing. Yet man has to view all of these from afar, and there seems to be so much still to be discovered in the ocean depths, in the vastness of space, and the seemingly limitlessness of the building blocks of life. There's always more. And I am just discussing the world of today. How about the new creation that God has promised when he declared, "I am making everything new"? Our resurrection bodies will be as different from our physical bodies as a corn seed is from a corn stalk, or a mustard seed is from a mustard tree, or a caterpillar is from a butterfly. How awesome is our God and what he has prepared for us. We should also not think that we will all look the same or come with this exact same resurrection body. We'll be different heights probably and different sizes, I'm not sure. As I told you, I don't know. Why do I say this? Well, verse 38 says, "But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body." God is the awesome creator God, and he does as he has determined. One thing that we can be assured of is that we will all be like Christ. For 1 John 3, verse 2 says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That is what we know. There are four characteristics of the resurrection body we can know in comparison to our earthly bodies, according to verses 42 through 44, which says, "So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." Brothers and sisters, we know that our bodies are perishable, that there are dishonorable things that we have done with our bodies or that have been done to our bodies, that we are weak in ourselves, and that we have fleshly desires that do not align with the Spirit of God. This is the human nature. All of us struggle to be and to do what God has intended for us, but each of us falls short and our bodies ache, our faith gives out, our hope fades. We try and we fail. In our natural bodies, we resemble our first father, Adam. But if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. If we were like Adam and are like Adam, of the dust of the earth, perishable and worldly, so now, united with Christ in his death and raised with him in his resurrection, we will be like him. Verse 49 says, "And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven." And again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here." I tell you that we do not have to wait for our resurrected bodies to participate in the kingdom of God. It is already here. Yes, we are not perfected, and we will not be until Christ returns. But we are new creations in Christ. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus also said in Matthew 11, 27 and 29 through 29, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Our problem is that we are too caught up in ourselves, in our earthly lives. Our key verse says, "And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven." We bear Christ's likeness when we acknowledge we are weak and burdened and allow Christ to lead us where he chooses. Only Christ knows the Father, and only he can reveal the Father to us. God's purpose is not that we would be wonderful missionaries and successful professor shepherds, but that we may bear the image of Christ and that he would be seen in us. When I started my PhD program, I wanted to please God by devoting myself to full-time student ministry. Little did I know that my plans would end in failure some 6.5 years later, and that I would lose my mind. Now, for the last 10 years, my family and I have lived in the shadow of that failure and with the reality of my mental illness and the struggle of trusting God through it all. Outwardly, we are okay, but inwardly, I struggle in my weakness. I remind myself each day that I am a new creation in Christ. I long for the day when I will have a new resurrected body. But until that day, I lean into Christ. I renew my mind with God's word of assurance and his great promise. Look at verses 50 through 56. We see that human effort does not bring about an inheritance in the kingdom of God, any more than our plans bring about anything of lasting value. We cannot do it. Thanks be to God that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ bore all of our sins on the cross and on the third day was raised from the dead. He went before us. Therefore, we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Then the saying that is true will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Oops, sorry. I skipped a paragraph. We live in the death brought by our sinfulness and the power of sin in our lives as we fail to keep the word and the intent of the law. The truth is we are lost in our transgressions and our iniquities. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. My labor in the Lord is not in vain. I may have failed my PhD. I may have lost my mind. Yet I stand here before you to testify that God is at work to this day in my life. God is changing my life from the inside out, transforming me to be more like Christ day by day. I may long for eternity future, but right now I live in Christ. I thank God that he has preserved my faith, He has preserved my family, that he has given me a position where I can provide, including supporting soon to be two students in college. I thank God that he has watched over my heart and my mind. I also thank him for holding on to Teresa as she walked through many dark days and many nights, not knowing how she could continue. The Christian life is not easy. It takes endurance and an ongoing dependence on Christ. Yes, one day Christ will return and the trumpet will sound and we will all be transformed. But until that day arrives, we are to live in Christ. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." True living does not come in the fullness of pleasures, of the abundance of earthly possessions, or the pride of our accomplishments, but it comes in knowing Christ and comes in knowing and loving others just as we are loved by God. I am growing in my ability to love others. I have a long way to go. In my acceptance of where I am and whose I am. This is not the life I would choose. I'm sure a lot of you don't have the life that you would choose. But this is the life that God has chosen for me. I can rest in that. I rejoice in that. And so can you. God has the very best for each and every one of us. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come as we are. Lord, you have given us such wonderful promises, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And as you raise Christ from the dead, you also raise us from the dead. Lord, help us to trust in you day by day as we await for the glorious day of your return. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.